Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Anna's Journey on Blog Talk Radio. I am your show's host, Anna Renault, and I've always announced to folks that you can find out more information about me on my website, annarenault.com, and that's A-N-N-A-R-E-N-A-U-L-T. And I really am happy that folks are willing to listen to Anna's Journey. It has been more than 6 years since we went live on the air in August of 2011. And today we're going to be talking about authors, book fairs, book fests, book bash. It's a busy season for book sales. And there are certainly certain areas of the country that I have found that are very, very active in the book world, both in terms of the number of writers and the number of readers. And for some, it may sound logical. If you're in the Northwest or even just the North, places like Washington State, Montana, North Dakota, the higher parts of New England, where they get a lot of severe winter weather, a lot of people do a lot of reading, and some people also do a lot of writing. And it kind of makes sense, a lot of indoor stuff, especially throughout the winter, especially if it turns out to be a long winter. And certainly even now, with temperatures already dipping in some places into the 40s, certainly here in Maryland, we've already been seeing temperatures as low as the 50s. It seems that fall has already arrived, even though the calendar says it hasn't. But certainly even in California, where we tend to think sunny California and warm temperatures, the northern part of the state is already seeing temperatures dipping into the 60s. So, yep. It's time to think about what we're going to do for the winter. Are we going to stock up on some really good books? Are we going to have the opportunity to go to an event called a book fest, where it's really a festival with food and all kinds of games and different things going on, along with 100 book authors? Certainly some panel discussions, certainly some workshops that would be helpful to beginner writers or even writers who just feel they need a little brush up or some new insight into what they're writing. So one of the first ones I found is in a place called Manteca, California, M-A-N-T-E-C-A, Manteca, California. It's about 2 hours south of San Francisco. It's about an hour and a half north of Monterey. It is in an awesome valley that, at least from the pictures I've seen so far this year, is really a gorgeous place to visit. And I'm going to have the opportunity to be there on October the 14th. I'm going to have the opportunity to spend a couple of days with Mother Nature while I'm out there, and then to attend this absolutely fantastic event that last year saw 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people come through to buy some food and buy a ton of books. And that is just awesome. And from the looks of the website and from the authors I've talked to, it looks like there are going to be about 100 of them. And we're separated into different tents so that it does try to sort out what people are looking for. Certainly a few featured authors that are going to be on stage and doing the workshops and those kinds of things. And then there's a tent for children's books. I would love to have been in that. However, by the time I found out about it, the children's tent was full. But that's okay because I have these other books that really are geared toward adult readers called Anna's Journey, How Many Lives Does One Person Get? And it certainly talks about my journey through my first 8 cancers, my first 60 years of my life. And certainly, probably not something even a teenager would be interested in reading, unless maybe they are in a nursing class or going into some type of medical field. But it certainly is something that a lot of people are interested in because of the cancer, and certainly the fact that there were 8 different times that I had cancer. It's very unusual to have somebody that's had that many, and it has been 40 years, which is what brought up the newest book, My 40-Year Dance with Cancer. What did I go through in 77? What did I go through in the 80s, the 90s, 2005, 2009? Were things that changed? Were certain things basically the same? How did I diagnose, or was I diagnosed differently each time? How many different types of cancer were there? But I also certainly weaved into the book some things about learning leadership, conducting workshops, being able to travel around the country both for work and for pleasure. It, I think, is certainly an awesome book that was published in 2011, and here in 2017 it is still selling. So I'm quite proud of that, needless to say. This newest book, My 40-Year Dance with Cancer, the title is catchy. The topic inside isn't all that rah, rah, rah. And I don't know that it's going to be nearly as successful as I was hoping. But then again, sometimes it takes just the right amount of time to find the right audience and the right niche. And, of course, then to make the sales. And that's being worked on slowly but surely. I certainly made some introductions that I thought were going to be just the right audience. They're more interested in the first book. Well, that's fine. Maybe they'll read the first book and realize that they like what I write, and they'll give the second book a chance. Now, I'm saying second book. It's the second autobiographical book, but it's actually book number 18 if you go on Amazon and look up Anna Renault. So I was talking about going to Manteca, California, where apparently a lot of people, even a few authors from Canada, come down, and people from Washington and Oregon visit for the weekend, and people from all over California, Idaho, and Nevada also come in and visit. It really sounds like it should be a fun time. And hopefully a chance where I can really meet some of my readers face-to-face. Now, after that, I will get back on the train and make a few more stops before I get to the book bash. And I love how these people come up with these titles. And from what I gather, this is at least the second, if not more, times that Kalamazoo, Michigan has had this book bash. They are very much into the arty type, entertainment type world, both visual art as well as text. They had this book event 2 years ago. They did take off last year because of so many other local events going on at the same time. And it gives them authors a chance to publish their next book and come back again. And from what I was gathering when I made my author list 2-3 days ago, it looks like there are about 80 authors at that event. And from what I can tell, I'm the only one that overlaps the two different events. And I have to admit, there are a few thousand miles between Manteca, California, and Kalamazoo, Michigan. But it's also been an interesting journey with the Kalamazoo folks. I will be rooming with another author, whom I've never met except on Facebook. And then they do all kinds of other interesting things. Excuse me, my voice just decided to take a little break. But this book bash at Kalamazoo is inside a hotel. It is a ticketed event. They've already sold a couple of hundred tickets for people to come in, pay to come in to meet authors face to face, to attend workshops and panel discussions. So it again should be a very interesting event. One of the authors started a bingo card. Different people donate to a gift basket, and you go through the book event, the ballroom where all the authors are set up, and you get your bingo ticket stamped or signed or whatever, and then you get put into a drawing for this wonderful gift basket. It's pretty much a good way to ensure that those who are attending come to your table to at least see you, at least say hello. And hopefully at that point, that's when you have a chance to either hand them something or give them your real quick 30-second tagline. I know when I say to people, you know, I hope you enjoy meeting an 8-time cancer survivor. Hope you like my book. Those kinds of things, just short and sweet, something to grab their attention. I've actually been working on just a small handout that when they hand me their card for me to sign for the bingo, that I can then turn around and hand them something too. And then if they move on to the next table to get their ticket stamped or their card signed or whatever, they'll take a look at what I've handed them and maybe come back and take a look at the books. It's interesting sometimes to see the activity going on within those kinds of events. The Book Fest in California, it's a big open-air outside party, really. Parents come, adults come, I should say. Some are parents and they bring their kids. Some bring their own parents. And they buy some ice cream, they buy some food, they listen to some music, they do all kinds of things. And hopefully they also come through the tents and meet the authors, which is the whole purpose of having the event, other than just having this outside fun day, and that the authors are an opportunity to actually sell some books and make a difference. And again, the reports from last year, and this is an event that happens every year, so hopefully with a few thousand people coming through, the author tents will see at least several hundred of those folks. So it's hard to tell how many books to even take with you. If you are an author and you have participated in different book fairs and book fests, I know here in Baltimore we have an event that goes usually Friday, Saturday, Sunday. For a number of years it was in and around the Walters Gallery, and then the last 2 years they moved it down to the harbor with the hope of getting a few thousand more people to attend and to have more room to spread out, less of a parking situation with the local streets around the museum as opposed to the big parking lots where you pay for the day to park down at the harbor. So I certainly know what our Book Fest has been like, and I know that most states have one somewhere, sometime, either every year or every other year, really promoting the whole idea of reading and writing. So again, if you're an author and you've attended a book fest or a book bash, either indoor or outdoor, go to my website, annarenault.com, and send me a message. Give me some details of what you've done at one of these events to either buy books from authors or as an author that you've sold books, that some way that you found was the most successful. How did you get people to stop at your table? I've certainly been given suggestions that you have a bowl of candy sitting on the table. Well, I've been to those events, all different kinds of conventions, where you have the candy on the table and people come by, take a piece or two of candy and move on and never even say hello to the person behind the table. I'm in no hurry to do that. I'm also have become a big fan of reading some of these articles that are saying how dangerous too much sugar is. And certainly the link between sugar that digests in our body and converts into a hormone that has actually been linked to breast cancer. That is downright scary. So if you have some books, first of all, I'd like to talk to you just because you're an author. But if you've attended one of these book events, let me know what you did, how it went, what was successful, what was not successful. I know the last time I did the Baltimore Book Fair, I got sat next to a lady who had hired a large snowman. And it was cute. It was different. It was certainly expensive. But almost everybody, adults and kids alike, that came into the author tent were just dying to have their picture taken with the snowman. It was good for me that I happened to be right next door to that table. And as people were getting their picture taken, most of them were standing in line. And I was happy when the line stopped or stood in front of my table. And people took the time to look at my books while they were waiting their turn to get their picture. I often thought, do I rent something like that? What do I rent? Now, in the case of my children's books, I have Mitzi the Butterfly. I don't know that there are any characters out there that walk around looking like a butterfly. I don't know that there are any movie characters out there. I don't think there are any Halloween costumes out there. It would be something that I would probably have to design and ask somebody to make, and then pay somebody to wear the butterfly suit. But it is something that has stuck in the back of my mind for the last 3 years since I saw that snowman. It really makes you wonder. And then my question, of course, to the author was, did that help you sell enough books to make enough profit to pay for the rental of the snowman? It's a real give-or-take business. How much do you pay out of pocket for expenses that you then have to recoup with sales? And that's great if you sell enough to recoup, but does that give you a profit? Does that actually put money in your pocket to pay your bills? It's also been interesting with talking with the Great Lakes Book Bash people in Michigan, or authors that are attending that. One I know from North Carolina, and one is from Ohio. But in talking with these ladies, I have found that they are still struggling to get that first book or two to really catch somebody's eye, to sell a few copies that really puts them in the black. Think about this. I'm traveling to California. Now, it just so happens that it's part of my vacation, so it really isn't necessarily an all-out business expense. However, I can take some of my expense off of my taxes this year, certainly the hotel in Manteca, and the registration at the fair for the author table are certainly expenses that I can deduct. And I sat down and I was wondering, how many books do I need to sell to come out even? With the hope that enough people will see me, take my handouts home, and then buy books between now and Christmas or even after, for somebody they know that they think really needs to read my book for inspiration, for hope, for information. And certainly, then I would get the royalties and it would be the profitable side of me attending such an event. of course, I'm also asking everybody I know, including all my listeners, to certainly pray that it turns out to be a nice, sunny California day. We certainly do not want to be out on this huge shopping center parking lot, tents or no tents, and no rain. Majority of the people will certainly not come out to meet the authors and walk through the tent if it's raining. Now, of course, I've been assured that that particular area of California does not see much rain, and it doesn't see much rain at all this time of the year, which is why it was booked for October. So I'm praying for some beautiful fall colors and some beautiful mild weather. All right, now I've jumped right into the show talking about authors and book fairs and book fests and book bash, all this stuff about authors and selling books. And I have totally skipped over what I normally do when I start my show, and that is to announce my monthly airtime sponsor. This month of September, it is Ginny Robertson, LLC. Ginny Robertson has, for the past 16, 17 years, coordinated and orchestrated a fantastic networking organization for women. She started way back in around 2000, 2001, with in-person meetings, usually in the evening, once a month. It quickly grew to 3, 4, 5 times a month in different parts of the state, and now there are at least 8, I believe, face-to-face meetings around the state. Certainly there's one here in Baltimore where Ginny actually uses her house that will hold 40 or 50 people or more. There's one in Bel Air to the north, one to Frederick in the west, certainly one down around D.C. or two down around D.C. And there are just, and then Columbia has one. There are a number of places that usually within an hour you can get to an on-purpose woman community face-to-face event. There's also one in Northern Virginia. Now, she's also started an online event using Zoom.com, Zoom.com, where you can do a virtual meeting and you can usually see each other. Or if you have a crazy computer like mine that sometimes just doesn't want to do the visual thing, you may actually then call in by telephone, which I've done a couple of times, and you get to meet people virtually by phone and hear who they are, what they do, all kinds of neat information. 3 of those online meetings are for the members only. But once a month, she also has a global meeting, and there's a global page on Facebook for women to network. And you get calls from all over the country and a few from out of the country. It has really blossomed into an awesome, informative networking organization to help people with small businesses, unique businesses, and all those kinds of things. So if you get a chance, go to JinnyRobertson.com and find out all the things that Ginny does in terms of speaking, publishing a magazine, and doing these networking events. GinnyRobertson, JinnyRobertson.com. And I want to give a big shout-out to Lucky Dog Wellness. Jane Manier is a certified wellness specialist, and she has been doing all kinds of things to help me out this past summer as I get ready for this trip. And then I'm also doing a fundraiser on Thursday for cancer. Since I will be traveling a lot in October, I won't be home to do my normal fundraising for cancer. So a big shout-out to LuckyDogWellness.com. And then my PSA really is to donate blood to the Red Cross. I have been reading some very sad and irritating stories that the volunteers in Texas from the American Red Cross have not done a good job in terms of the donations and distributing things in need and really assisting people. However, they are the best place in the country for donating blood. And with the Hurricane Harvey hitting Texas and Louisiana, and then Hurricane Irma hitting Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, so many states, blood donations are definitely very low and the need is very high. So think about that. I really hope that people will donate blood. It is a very needed, life-saving service. All right, so let's jump back into the show and let's talk about authors and writing books. What do you write about? Do you like to write poetry? Do you like to read poetry? Maybe you've been reading romance novels and you've been thinking, I can do that or I can do that better. And you sit down and you start to write. What if you like sci-fi? What if you like horror? What if you like mysteries? Who did it? There are so many different types of books, different types of stories. What do you like to read is usually what guides you into what you like to write. Maybe you've been watching a TV show that features a writer and you keep thinking, I'd really like to do that. I'd like to be invited to speak at this book event where all these authors are gathered. Maybe you want to go to the library and get all these books out about writing, how to develop your character, how to write the background scenery, how you write the verbiage, how characters talk to one another, how much talking is good, how much talking is too little. Do you use what I call slang? I know I read a story from a lady that was talking with friends in the bayou in Louisiana. And using the current slang of the bayou was very effective in terms of the characters, but it was so much and it was so heavy that it was like really pulling teeth to figure out what in the world they were talking about. And I thought, this is a little bit overkill. She could have thrown a little bit of slang in there and gotten the point across that they were in the bayou in Louisiana. But to use it 99% of the conversation, it might be real life in the bayou, but for most of us who have never been in the bayou, 99% slang is too much, especially without footnotes or any explanation of what in the world they were saying. And of course, some of it you wondered, was it really slang or was it just typographical errors and misspelled words? It was difficult to read that book and to figure out the plot and to stay interested in the different characters, which was another one of my suggestions to her in the critique. She had at least 15 or 16 different characters. Now, depending on your story, how long it is, whatever, it might be helpful to have a lot of characters. But when you're trying to figure out who your main character is, who is, you know, is there one, is there two, or are you trying to throw all 16 people at the reader at the same time? Who's married to who? Whose child is who? I had to get out a piece of paper and start making notes. I couldn't keep track of John and Josh and Jerry, and, you know, it was like, you've got to be kidding. Now, I have to admit, I have gone to the library, and I've gotten books out that have a lot of characters. And actually, in the front, before the first chapter, they have a whole list here's the mom and dad, here's the child, here's the spouse of the child, here are the grandchildren, here are their spouses, and you have some kind of idea of who's who and who goes with who. But with this book that I was reading about, Love in the Bayou, it was nearly impossible to figure out who was who and to keep track. And I tried sitting down sometimes for 2 or 3 hours at a time, thinking maybe if I stuck with it a little while, it would kind of click and it would make sense. Well, sadly to say, it didn't. And after I read it the first time, I went back trying to read it the second time, using my notes to keep track of who was who. And it didn't make the book any better. So I suggested to her that she go in and she make some changes and that she, you know, kind of tone down that Bayou language. I never heard from her again. So I don't know if I upset her or if she gave up writing or, you know, I haven't seen her name pop up on my Amazon when I do a search. So I don't know what happened there. But when you decide to sit down and write a book, what is your genre? Is it going to be romance, mystery, sci-fi, poetry, autobiographical? Certainly my two books, Anna's Journey, How Many Lives Does One Person Get?, and then My 40-Year Dance, are definitely biographical. I have a third one, Anna's Journey and My Accident Prone. It talks about my tricycle hitting my grandmother's wall, me riding on the back of a bicycle with my aunt and getting my heel caught in the tire, my arm going through the wash machine wringer, all kinds of crazy accidents that I had when I was a kid. And the book came up, actually, when at the age of 60, I fell and broke my wrist, and the following spring, I fell and broke the other wrist, and people started teasing me about going into my second childhood, and was I accident prone? And I thought, you know, that would be just a cute little book, you know, whether it be for kids or adults. And somewhat unbelievable that one person, one child, would have all those different trips to the emergency room. I mean, these days they would probably investigate my parents for child abuse or something to see, you know, are these really accidents or was somebody really purposely injuring me? And fortunately, I have to admit that they were all pretty much just sometimes wrong time, wrong place. You know, my uncle said, stand over here out of the way. So I stood there. Don't know why I listened to him. I don't usually. But I stood over out of the way. Only I wasn't out of the way. When he casted his fishing rod and the hook, it went right into my eyelid. Weird. Something that probably could never happen again if he tried. But off to the hospital I went to have the fish hook cut out of my eyelid. I have had some very strange, crazy incidents in my childhood and then in my later life. Certainly at 14, I saw some friends get killed by lightning. I was then in a car crash with my boyfriend who was killed. It's not easy to stand and tell the story of being in a fatal car crash when you're the survivor, the sole survivor of that fatal car crash. It's very emotional. It's very tough. But it's part of my life. It's part of the autobiography. I have to admit that I kind of did laugh a little bit when the editor told me I needed to change some things in the book, and it was like, wait a minute. If I change that, then it's no longer true and it's no longer autobiographical. You're now talking about fiction. This book was not intended to be fiction. So again, it's a story that you have to decide or a decision that you have to make as an author. Are you going to write fiction or nonfiction? Is it going to be autobiographical? Or are you going to write somebody else's biography? Is there somebody that you really like, that you've really been, you know, in awe of? Certainly one of my friends who died in 07 that really pushed me for years to write, I would love to write her autobiography. I would love to know so many more details. I know that she met people like John Waters, who is a really good writer and director of movies and just an awesome gentleman in the entertainment world. And Jackie met some very interesting people like that. I would love to write her biography one day. I don't foresee that happening. I don't foresee my ability to access a lot of that information. But she was an awesome woman, certainly energetic, smart, leadership quality to the nth degree. All right, so we've talked about book fairs, book fest, book bash, the fact that this is a busy season. So once you sit down and you write your book and you publish it, whether you go through a traditional publisher, which sometimes is extremely difficult, or you do a self-publishing through a vanity press who will print anything, or you go online to one of these online companies such as Amazon that has CreateSpace and you publish your own book. Now you have a book. How do you get it to sell? Who is your audience? If you're writing romance, there are certainly tons of romance readers out there. Do you go on meetup.com and find different groups that like to read romance and you get together and you have some drinks or you have a meal and you discuss your favorite book? Or do you go to the local library such as Perry Hall and I think it's the first Friday of every month and you talk about the book that you've read recently that you just love that you think everybody else should read? Or do you contact every nonprofit in town and churches and whoever you think will invite you to come and speak and talk about your book? Maybe as a fundraiser, maybe as raising information. Certainly in my case, with my book being about cancer, a lot of people invite me to talk about cancer, ways to prevent it, ways to diagnose it, different treatments, all kinds of topics. But you need to find a way to let people know. And one of the best advice I got from my first publisher was, never go anywhere without a book. I sold a book to my bank teller, to my grocery store checkout clerk, to all kinds of people, especially that first and second year. It has been an unbelievable journey. And as I said, the book was published in 2011. Last year, while I'm still in cancer treatment, one of the doctor's wives read my book. She thought it was great. She put my name out to a group in California that was having a cancer conference, who then invited me and paid me to travel to California to speak. That is an awesome, profitable payment for writing a book of 130, 140 pages. That an autobiographical book, a story, a book about my life. That is awesome. You can do it too. Whether you write autobiographical or the romance or the mystery, especially if you're a really good mystery writer, oh my gosh, there are train rides and boat rides and conferences and all kinds of things about whodunit. And they will be glad to invite you and pay you to come and speak. Sci-Fi has all these fancy conferences where you come and you dress up as the Jedi or the different characters from Star Trek and Star Wars. And I mean, there is a huge community out there for all those kinds of books. And sports is another topic. I had an editor in 2011, 2012 who talked about wanting to write a book about wrestling. Well, it just published last month or this month. It is so awesome to see his dream come true. It took him a while. He does have a son who has special needs because of having a brain tumor at a year and a half old. And I really expected him to do an autobiographical book on his son. But no, he and his son go to all these wrestling tournaments and things. And he wrote a book about wrestling. And it published, and he's now doing book signings. And he is grinning from ear to ear. So find something you love. Write about it. Find the right way to publish it. And then the right way to promote it. Your life will never be the same. It is absolutely awesome. All right, my computer is blinking and telling me that I'm going to be running out of time. So hopefully today's show has been somewhat helpful. Authors, if you want to know more about writing, certainly feel free to contact me. I'm starting to do some things online, especially as I'm traveling. I'm certainly willing to travel and stop in different places and talk to some folks. So think about it. If you want to write, sit down. There's no time like the present to decide to write. And there's really no wrong way. Some people write a little bit every day. Some people write just on the weekends. Whatever fits your lifestyle, whatever genre fits your soul, what really feeds your imagination. And then let me hear from you on AnnaRenault.com. I look forward to hearing from listeners this week. Thanks a lot for listening to Anna's Journey here on Blog Talk Radio. I will be back on the air tomorrow talking with Eileen Thielson about plexus and about your gut and the health issues that our bodies really are dealing with because or instead of having a healthy environment within our stomach. What is good gut health? And then Friday, I believe I have a fourth show with Laura Johnson from Frederick, Maryland, who talks about the money in our pocket, hummingbird wealth management. Thanks a lot for listening to Anna's Journey here on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to check out JennyRobertson.com. And if you happen to have a four-legged pet, dog, cat, and you want to talk with Jane Manier about pet first aid, animal massage, helping your senior dog be more comfortable, certainly look up LuckyDogWellness.com, and it's spelled L-U-C-K-I-E, LuckyDogWellness.com. Thanks a lot. Take care. Have a great day.